no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, your weekly hour of radio drama, Tuesdays on RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from Theater Royal. We'll hear The Inspector General, their episode from February 20th, 1954. After that, it's Gunsmoke and Terra, their episode from November 7th, 1952.
The National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribed, Sir Laurence Olivier in Theatre Royal.
This is Laurence Olivier. Today we've chosen a comical piece by Nikolai Gogol. It's a famous story and has provided the basis for both plays and films. I myself shall be playing the part of Ivan Alexandrovich Yestakov in Nikolai Gogol's The Inspector General. My name is Ivan Alexandrovich Yestakov, and by profession I'm a clerk in the civil service at St. Petersburg. I was on my way back to my father's estate in Saratov province when I chanced to fall in with an infantry officer at Penza. It was at the inn there, where we were both stopping overnight, that he suggested a game of cards. I'm rather partial to a hand of piquet, and so down we sat. It was dawn before the game was finished, and by that time, I had lost every ruble I possessed. And that was why I found myself in such a predicament at the next inn on the road. As I had no money left with which to pay for my night's lodging, I'd ended by staying on there for a fortnight, along with my servant, Ozzie. Hey, Ozzie, stop sprawling on my bed. See whether there's any tobacco left in my pouch.
There can't be. You finished it 4 days ago.
Oh, did I? Yes, I suppose I did. Well, go downstairs and tell them to send up some dinner. I'm starving.
So am I. But that doesn't mean we shall eat. The landlord told him to send up nothing more.
Why, we're guests at the inn, aren't we?
He says he knows a rogue and a cheat when he sees one. And you haven't paid him a kopeck in over 2 weeks. He says he'll go to the mayor and have you arrested.
Go on, you idiot, that's enough. Tell him to send up some dinner immediately.
All right.
Immediately.
I'll tell him, but I can't see him doing anything about it.
I've never been so hungry in my life. What seems less likelihood of getting a good square meal. I wondered whether I should pawn some of my clothes, since I've lost my watch to the card-playing Captain Pender. Which only goes to show how desperate I was, for I don't know the clothes I was wearing.
They're bringing your dinner, sir.
Dinner?
The master says it's for the last time, sir, until you pay him what's owed.
Yes, yes, yes. And what have you brought, sir? What, only two courses? What? Hey, do you call this soup? Why, it's like water.
The master said you needn't have it if you didn't like it.
All right, all right. Leave it there, you idiot. This may be the way you go on to the other guests, but you can't get away with it where I'm concerned, you know. So I don't advise you to try it on. What on earth is this? Meat? So tough, I can't eat it. I can't even cut it. Why, it's like the bark of a tree.
Can I take it away?
No! I eat it to kill me, just to spite them all. And no sauce with it. No pudding to follow? What sort of an inn is this, anyway? It's a fleecing people. For 2 pins, I'd leave.
Oh, sir, the master does wish you would.
Well, that's how things were at the inn, in a pretty bad shape. With the landlord actually threatening to have me arrested to complain about me to the mayor. As a matter of fact, though I didn't know about it at the time, I was already very much on the mayor's mind. In fact, I was under discussion at that very moment, over at the mayor's house.
But whoever can he be in this government inspector? What's he come to pry into?
How do I know? There's always far too much that can be pried into. Far too much for anyone's good. We all know that.
Yes. But when is he arriving?
That's just it. We don't know. All that Schmihoff would tell me was that an official had arrived in the province with instructions to go into the affairs of the whole district. Also, that he passes himself off as someone quite ordinary. In fact, he's traveling incognito. Schmihoff tells me that the inspector is a very formidable personage, and he advised us to set our affairs in order before it's too late.
But if we don't even know when he's coming...
That's just it. He might even have arrived already, without our knowing it.
Oh, dear, Mr. Renison.
It's this confounded idea of traveling incognito which makes it all so terrible. He'll drop in on us all of a sudden, when we're least prepared for him, and he'll look round and say, I can just hear him, he'll say, oh, so this is how things are managed here, is it? Who is the judge here? Lyapkin, Lyapkin, hand him over, please.
Oh, good gracious, you wouldn't give me away like that.
I should have no alternative. Then he's bound to inquire into the charitable institutions. Who runs them, he'll ask. Zimbianica? Bring him here at once.
Oh, but this is absolutely terrible. What on earth can we do?
Oh, we must set the whole place to rights at once. Or at least make matters look as reasonable as we can. Somebody may have been complaining about it. Now you, Ivan Kuzmich, you're the postmaster. Couldn't you unseal and read all the letters for a few days and see whether somebody isn't telling a few lies about us to the capital?
Well, of course, I always read the letters. But I see nothing so far, at least not about any government inspectors. Some of the letters are very interesting, of course, and very entertaining. Oh. There was one this morning. Now, where is it? I've got it in my
pocket. Oh, we've no time for that sort of thing now. At any minute, the door may open and in come...
He's here! We've seen him! I was saying to Dublin... No. Let me kill him. I got the whole thing in the point order. I was saying to Bob...
Never mind who was saying it. What is it, man, for heaven's sake?
This government inspector... Incognito, just like you said, and he's staying at the inn, a man from St. Petersburg.
He's here already? Oh, heavens, no, it can't be.
But it is. He's been here for a fortnight, never paying for anything, issuing orders left and right.
Been here for a fortnight? Oh, but this is appalling. Just think what he must have found out already. I must go and pay my respects to him at once. Oh, why did nobody tell me before?
Of course, I wasn't to know about that little scene, which was taking place in the mayor's house on the other side of the town, so that I was really quite alarmed just after I'd finished that really execrable meal at the inn, when there was a knock on the door of my room and the waiter announced...
His worship the mayor.
Oh, that scoundrel of a landlord must have...
I humbly wish you good day, sir. It is my duty, as mayor of this town, to see that all visiting gentlemen of rank... I trust that everything is being done for your convenience.
It's not my fault that I haven't paid. I'm expecting some money from St. Petersburg at any moment. It's all the landlord's fault. He gives me beef that's as tough as an old boot, and the soup's quite like cabbage water, and no sauce or...
Oh, you must forgive me, sir. I'll see to it immediately. But if you'll be so good as to allow me, I will arrange for other accommodation immediately.
Other accommodation? I know what you mean. Prison. How dare you threaten me? You don't seem to realize who I am. I'm in the service from St. Petersburg.
Oh, dear, what a terribly violent man. He must have found out about...
This is an outrage. I'll write to the minister to say the minister is a close friend of mine.
Oh, no, sir. Please, sir. My wife and children, sir. I beg you not to...
But what do I care about your wife and children? Is that any reason why I should be put in prison?
Oh, forgive me, sir. It was my lack of experience, and my salary was hardly enough to pay for tea and sugar. If I did take a few bribes, they were nothing worth mentioning. A few yards of cloth here... Two bottles of vodka and cigars. And if the sergeant's widow says I had her flogged, it's all a pack of lies.
You can't frighten me like that, flogging. Just because I happen to be short of money for a moment.
Short of money? Oh, of course, of course. If you would allow me to lend you 200 rubles, it would be a great honor. Oh, dear. No, please.
But if you
make it 400.
Yes, of course. Thank you very much. I see you're a gentleman, sir. Won't you sit down?
Sit down, sir? No, sir, I couldn't dream of it. But are you quite sure this room is to your liking, sir? It seems a little damp to me.
Damp? It's a ghastly room. I've never seen so many bugs in a bed in my life. They bite like dogs.
But this is terrible, sir. May I venture to suggest... Oh, no, it would be too great an honor.
Suggest what?
Well, I was about to suggest that you should accept my hospitality during your stay in our town, sir. I have a really excellent room entirely at your disposal. But of course,
I shall be delighted.
Oh, this is exceedingly kind of you, sir. I will send word to my wife at once. You'll be overjoyed.
Oh, splendid. Well, I'll have my bags packed and sent over at once. Waiter, let me have my bill, please.
I gave it to you for the second time this morning.
I can't remember your idiotic bills. How much was it?
Oh, my dear sir, I beg you. Have the bill sent to me, my good man. Oh, we really can't have our guests bothered in this way.
Very good, sir.
I must admit I was rather surprised by the turn that events had taken, but I quickly adapted myself to them. Whoever it was that the mayor had mistaken me for, I was perfectly ready to play the part. Apparently he seemed to imagine that I was a person of great consequence in the government, And when I tried to suggest that I was merely a gentleman passing through his town in a private capacity, he smiled in a very knowing way, as though he knew better than that. He showed me all over the town, took me back to his house, gave me a superlative dinner, and I must admit, it got me a little intoxicated. In fact, I began to play my part quite well, especially with his wife and daughter.
Oh, Arthur St. Petersburg, you must find our country life very dull, I'm sure.
Oh, it has its compensations, you know. I'm a very simple man, really.
Oh.
I do my utmost to pass without notice, but I never seem able to get away with it. So someone is sure to say, there goes Ivan Alexandrovich. Everyone knows me, though I have been mistaken for the commander-in-chief at the Winter Palace. If any of you come to St. Petersburg, no, you really, no, really, you really, really, really must come and visit me at my house. Anyone will tell you where it is. I give balls almost every week.
Oh, I can just imagine the taste of magnificence, Arthur.
Oh, yes. There's 700 rubles for a single watermelon.
Oh.
I've given before now. Yes, yes, quite a gourmet, they call me. My soup is brought in a saucepan by steamer all the way from Paris. After dinner, we often make up a whist party of the foreign sections of the French and English and German ambassadors and I. Often enough, I find the minister himself waiting.
The minister himself?
Yes, yes, of course. I write a lot of plays and novels in my spare time as well. I can't even remember the titles of many of them. Just dash them off, you know.
Oh, there now. I might have known that you were a celebrated author.
It's nothing, really. It all started when the director of theatre came to me and said, come, old chap, write something for us, will you? Of course, I couldn't.
No.
You know.
And novels, will you say?
Yes, all that sort of thing. The Queen of, what was the thing I wrote?
The Queen of Spades. I might have known.
Yes, yeah, that's right, the Queen of Spades.
Don't argue, Maria. Oh, really, I'm quite ashamed of you.
Oh, yes, well, Pushkin wrote one Queen of Spades, and then I wrote another one.
Oh, I'm sure it was yours that I read. It was so beautifully written.
Of course, I don't get enough time for writing rarely. But it was worse when I was the head of a government department. The director died, and after one or two generals had tried to run the job,
you had to come and ask me.
I was on the point of refusing, but then I thought it would be sure to get back to the Tsar, and I knew he'd never forgive me if I left him in the lurch. So, very well, gentlemen, I said, I accept the post. Only you'll have to mind what you're doing. You know the sort of man I am. When I arrived at the ministry, there might have been an earthquake. Everyone was shaking and shivering so much. I'm not a man of disciples, you know.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. May I fill your Excellency's glass again?
Thank you, yes. I have given a few people things to remember me by. Even the Privy Council is scared of me, and so they might be, after all. I'm in and out of the palace every day.
Oh.
And, of course, they're going to make me a field marshal at any moment. I've always taken my stand. I've always taken my stand.
Merciful heavens! His Excellency has passed out!
In a moment, we continue. Theatre Royal with Sir Laurence Olivier.
NBC is all for it. We mean that great American institution, Sundays at Home. And to prove it, we've come up with an all-star listening review designed to promote comfortable, easy-chair living. Tomorrow, talented conductor Guido Cantelli heads the list as he and the NBC Symphony Orchestra bring you another brilliant concert from Carnegie Hall, featuring stirring scores by Stravinsky and Beethoven. Sunday, also, you'll want to hear another discussion session on the latest in the fields of arts and sciences. That's on NBC's mammoth show, Collector's Item. And your Sunday newspaper of the air, Weekend, then brings you the latest news and commentaries with everything from cover story to feature page, under such famous bylines as Merrill Muller, Earl Godwin, Tex McCrary, and Elmo Roper. And then later Sunday, it's the Marriotts again, Ben and Liz, in The Marriage, another charming human adventure in matrimonial life. And tomorrow's production of the NBC Star Playhouse is that hilarious comedy of errors, The Major and the Minor, starring June Allison as the little girl who grows up fast when she finds that the handsome man with a uniform has developed a fatherly attitude. All this fine listening is just a sample of what's in store for Sunday stay-at-homers tomorrow, so why not take us up on it? Spend the perfect Sunday at home with the best in entertainment, courtesy of NBC.
And now we continue Theatre Royal, with Sir Laurence Olivier.
Yes, I must admit that things have turned out very fortunately for me one way and another. Admittedly, I'd taken far too much to drink over dinner, and it was quite late the following morning when I came down from my room. I don't know how long I'd been waiting, but there was a gentleman to see me.
I have the honor to present myself, Lyapkin Tyapkin, judge of the district court.
Ah, please sit down. So you're the judge here, eh? Do you find it profitable?
After 9 years of service, I was given the Order of Vladimir, fourth class, with commendation.
Excuse me, you've got something in your hand, I see.
In my... nothing at all, sir.
Look, you've got it. What is it, money? Why, it must be 300 rubles.
Dear, I barely hadn't noticed.
I suppose you wouldn't mind lending it to me for a day or two, would you?
No, not at all.
That's too kind. Thank you, really.
I wondered whether you had any orders to give me.
Orders?
I mean for the district court.
For the district court? No, none at all. Thank you. No, I don't think so.
Thank you, sir. Then I won't trouble you further. Your servant, sir.
Very pleasant fellow, the judge, I thought. 2 minutes later, I had more company.
I have the honor to present myself, speaking, court counsel or postmaster.
Ah, pleased to meet you. Sit down, won't you? You live in this town, I suppose.
Yes, sir.
A nice town. I like it. Not so big as Petersburg or Moscow, of course.
Perfectly true, sir.
But one can be very happy in a small town as well. Don't you agree?
Yes, indeed, sir.
You know, a queer thing happened to me on my way here. Got completely cleaned out. I suppose you couldn't lend me 300 rubles.
I regard it as an honor, sir. Allow me. Only too glad to be of service.
Thank you very much. No point in going short, is there?
No, indeed, sir. You've no observations about the post office?
The post office? No, none at all.
Thank you, sir.
Really, quite a pleasant fellow, the postmaster. Who's to be next, I wonder?
I have the honor to present myself. Zemlyanika, the superintendent of institutions and court counselor.
Oh, good. Do sit down.
You may remember I had the honor of showing you over our hospital yesterday.
Oh, yes, of course. I knew we'd met somewhere. A nice place, well run, comparatively.
Always glad to do my best for the welfare of my country, sir.
Splendid. Then you can probably do me a favor. A queer thing happened on my way here. I lost all my money. You couldn't lend me 400 rubles or so, I suppose?
Certainly, sir. You do me too much honor.
Not at all. Delighted, I'm sure. And so it went on. The inspector of school, directors of various charities, and some of the most prominent citizens in the town. In all, 2,500 rubles. I was completely charmed by their open-handedness. After all, it wasn't as though they had anything to gain from it. None of them had ever seen me before. I doubt whether they'll ever see me again. What's more?
I think we'd better be moving on, sir. It's high time we were on our way again.
You think so? Whatever for?
Well, we've been very well entertained these last 2 days, but it can't go on like this forever.
Why not? Tomorrow will be time enough.
No, sir, really, you know. They've obviously mistaken you for somebody else. We'd better get away before they discover their mistake. They'll give us good horses to the next posting station, and then we'll be safely on our way.
Oh, well, perhaps you're right. But just take this letter to the post for me while you're collecting our traveling passes, will you? And be sure they give us the fastest horses they've got.
I certainly will, sir. You can be sure of that.
Oh, good to see you, Excellency. Yes, come in. Come in, please.
Hello, what's this? A deputation or something?
Yes, Your Honor. If you'll pardon.
Come in. Well, what can I do for you?
It's the mayor, sir. There's never been one like him here before. There's no words to describe what's going on. What with billeting the soldiers on us and taking everything in the shops he can lay his hands on, and advising us to make him a present or other every time his name's day comes around, both of them, and threatening to put us out of business and having us flogged if we don't make the bribe large enough.
Dear me, the man sounds like a brigand.
So he is, sir, on my honor. And if you get across with him, he quarters a regiment on you to eat you out of house and business.
He does. Why, it all sounds most irregular. He ought to be sent to Siberia.
Wherever Your Excellency decides to send him, just so long as it's far enough. Begging your pardon, sir, we brought you our humble offerings. A sack of sugar and a few baskets of wine.
Oh, thank you. I'm much obliged to you. For the thought, I mean, of course, I couldn't possibly accept them.
Oh,
you, yes, no. You must realize I'm not in the habit of accepting bribes.
Oh, no, sir, no. Nothing was further from our thoughts.
I hope so.
Of course, if you were to let me have a loan of, say, 300 rubles, that would be another thing. I might agree to accept a loan to oblige you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, sir. We are much indebted.
No, don't mention it, please.
And if Your Excellency could see fit to help us in the matter of sending the mayor to Siberia...
Well, certainly. I'll do what I can for you. After a few more petitions of a similar order, I was feeling very pleased with the whole business. 4,000 rubles, to be exact. I looked forward to doubling it when I caught up with that captain of infantry who had cleaned me out at cards that night in Penza. But meanwhile, and while I was waiting for Ossip to fetch the post horses, what could be better than a little harmless flirtation? The mayor had a beautiful daughter, and even his wife seemed to be most forthcoming. The only trouble was I couldn't make up my mind which of the two I really preferred.
No.
Come in, my dear. How nice of you to come and keep me company.
Oh, no, really. I thought your mom was here. I'm sure you're very busy, sir.
But your eyes mean more to me than any business. I'm quite delighted to have you come and sit by me.
I don't know. I really ought to be going.
What a beautiful scarf you're wearing.
You're making fun of me, sir, because I'm only a silly country.
No, how I wish I were that scarf, my dear, to embrace those lily-white shoulders.
I don't understand you, sir.
Mm.
What warm weather we've been having.
Your lips, my dear, are warmer than any weather.
Sir, you say such terrible things.
Your lips and your eyes have charmed me till I can offer you nothing but my love. How happy I should be to take you in my arms and kiss you. Yeah, like this.
Oh,
my darling, it's
so beautiful. Much. I shall tell my mother.
Oh, no. Oh, forgive me. I was completely carried away by your beauty. On my knees, I ask your pardon. It was love that conquered me. Confound it.
Your Excellency, on your knees? To a silly little chit of a girl.
Your servant, madame.
What is the meaning of this, miss? Nice behavior, I'm sure.
Mama, His Excellency was
in. Leave the room at once. Really, Your Excellency, I must own I'm quite shocked.
Madam, I assure you. On my knees, I assure you.
What? On your knees again? Oh, pray, do please get up. The floor's up.
No. On my knees, I beg you. Is it to be life or death?
I don't understand. You are asking me for the hand of my daughter.
No, madam. It is you I'm in love with. My heart is consumed by the terrible fires of love. I am asking for your hand.
But you must know that in a sense, I am already married.
No, love cares nothing for such things, madame. We will flee the town together, anywhere, to some bower of bliss where we can be eternally happy together. On my knees, I beg you not to...
How dare you burst in on us like this? And why stand there looking as though you've lost your senses? You might be a child of three. Nobody would know you're 18. Have you no sense of propriety?
Mine and no.
Oh, you're always in a flutter. You should behave like I do.
Madame, do not oppose our happiness. Your daughter and I are passionately in love with each other.
What? You were marrying her? But I thought it was me. You said...
Shh, dear baby. What more convenient way can matters be arranged between us?
Oh, you pretty.
On my knees, I beg you. Is it to be life or death?
Oh, don't argue with His Excellency, Maria. For the sake of a silly girl like you, His Excellency is on his knees to me. And you rush in, interrupting as though you were out of your mind. Really, you don't deserve my consent at all. I vow you don't. Oh, my God.
You really want to marry me?
His Excellency.
Oh, of course he does.
Don't you, Your Excellency? I have really asked my husband to go on.
Oh, Your Excellency, have pity on me. Those vile shopkeepers in their petition, not a word of truth in it. Lies, slanders, and lies, a lot of it. Even if I did take a few bribes now and again, purely for the dignity of my office, and if they did have the soldiers billeted on them now and again, and occasional flogging, oh, surely, Your Excellency, you wouldn't send me to Siberia for that.
Oh, husband, please control yourself. Excellency has done us the honor to ask for our daughter's hand in marriage.
Oh, I don't care what they said, Your Excellency. It's a lot of lies. I beg you not to believe. His Excellency...
What?
His Excellency wishes to marry Maria.
But... Why, I can't believe it. It can't be true.
Can it? I'm desperately in love, sir. If you refuse, I shall shoot myself.
Oh, really? My head's in such a whirl... I beg you, Your Excellency, the shopkeepers are a lot of rogues and thieves.
Oh, but the shopkeepers, give His Excellency your blessing, you idiot.
What? Yes, of course. May God bless you, Your Excellency. What the devil? It's true. Why, he's kissing her. Oh, dear. I do hope he doesn't send me to Siberia as soon as they're married.
Perhaps it was just as well that Ossip arrived at that very moment to say that the post horses were ready. Naturally, they were surprised to hear that I was leaving so suddenly, but I explained that it was only for a day at the most while I went to put my affairs in order. Oh, dear, I'd certainly got myself into a devil of a tangle, and no mistake. And for the life of me, I don't know which of the two I should have fallen in love with, if I'd really fallen in love with either. As it was, I mounted my horse and left the town forever, to save myself making up my mind. Well, that's the end of the story, so far as I am concerned. How it really ended, I shall probably never know, but I have a very shrewd idea. The letter I'd asked my servant to post was a letter to a friend of mine in St. Petersburg, describing just what a capital time I'd had, and just what a parcel of idiots the mayor and the judge and the postmaster and the rest of them really were. It only occurred to me afterwards that the postmaster was sure to open the letter and read it.
Where is
the scoundrel? Where is who? Well, really speaking, here are all our friends come to congratulate me on His Excellency's engagement to my daughter, and you burst in like...
He isn't His Excellency at all.
What?
The whole thing's been a terrible mistake. The man is a common adventurer.
What?
A complete scoundrel who lost his money playing cards at Penta. He wrote a letter to a friend in St. Petersburg, and I took the liberty of reading it over at the post office. Then look! Read it for yourself.
You mean he isn't a minister at all?
Read his letter, sir, and see what he says about us all.
My dear Triopitchkin, I have had a most wonderful adventure. I lost all my money to a captain at cards in Penza and arrived here completely broke. The innkeeper was going to have me locked up for the price of his lodgings when my Petersburg manners and get-up suddenly convinced the town that I was an inspector general or something, traveling incognito.
Oh.
Since then, I have been treated like royalty.
Oh.
The mayor has invited me to stay with him in his home, where I flirt desperately with his wife and daughter.
Oh.
I wish I could make up my mind which to begin with.
Oh.
The whole town lends me money, they dine me and wine me, and everybody is scared to death of me, in case I have them sent to Siberia, I suppose. As for the mayor himself, he is as stupid as an old gray horse. An old gray horse? But I can't believe it. You mean he wasn't a government inspector at all?
No more than you or I.
Oh.
And I lent him the fastest post horses in the station to make his escape with all the money we
had. No, I won't have it. This is too much.
Are you the mayor of this town, sir?
Yes, I am. Is anything...
His Excellency the Inspector General has just arrived from St. Petersburg. He's staying at the inn and requires your presence immediately.
This is Laurence Olivier again. I should like, if I may, to thank the cast of today's adaptation of Nikolai Gogol's story, The Inspector General. They included Keith Pyatt, Roger Delgado, John Fraser, Daphne Maddox, Jeanette Stark, Stephen Jack, and Alexander Gage. Next week, I look forward to the pleasure of welcoming you once again to our program. Until then, au revoir, and thank you.
Laurence Olivier starred in today's transcribed program. The script was by Derek Patmore. The music was under the direction of Sidney Torch. Theatre Royal is an NBC presentation, produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.
Preceding was transcribed. Tonight, enjoy the big preview with Maury Amsterdam on the NBC Radio Network.
around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Hello, anyone here?
Be right out. I was just in the... Oh, hello, Marshal Dillon.
Hello, Ben. How are you? Had shipment come in from St. Louis?
He came in on the morning train, Marshal. I was going to send the boy over to tell you.
What, have you seen it yet?
I haven't had a chance to open it up. Here it is.
Oh, good. Well, let's see how it looks. Huh?
All right. There it is. Prettiest gold watch chain I ever did see.
Chester like that.
Yeah. And look at the gleam on that Elks, too.
Yeah.
Chester know you're getting this for him?
Oh, no, no. It's by way of a surprise. He thinks he's got a birthday this month sometime. Saturday's about the middle of the month, so I figure it's as good a day as anything, can it?
Yeah, morning, Miss Tara.
Oh, morning, Ben. Marshal Dillon.
Morning, Tara.
Oh, how beautiful. Is it yours, Marshal?
Oh, no. It's for Chester. He's always wanted one.
It's lovely. Ben, did my hand mirror arrive?
Yeah, it came in this morning, Miss Tara.
Can I take it now?
I don't know why not. It's paid for. Here. Careful now, Miss Tara. Came all the way from Boston, so don't drop it.
Oh, I won't. Don't worry. Thanks, Ben. Goodbye, Marshal Dillon.
Goodbye, Tara. That's a mighty pretty girl, Ben.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. She's blossomed out since I saw her last. Well, what owe you, Ben?
It'll be just about $4, Marshal.
$4, huh? Yeah. There we are, $4.
Thank you, Marshal. And give Chester my regards.
I'll do that, Ben. Well, morning, Miss Lane.
Morning, Marshal.
Morning.
Morning, Marshal.
Hello, John.
Oh, hello, Marshal.
Good morning, Chester.
Well, morning, Mr. Dillon.
Put this in the safe for me, will you?
Yes, sir.
How was the auction yesterday?
You know, Mr. Dillon, I never did see so many horses and mules.
You buy anything?
No, sir, Mr. Dillon. But Asa Welton bought that old stud horse off Mr. McGovern.
No, is that so?
Yeah. You know, I feel sorry for poor old Asa. Why, that stud horse has got a ring bone so bad he can't hardly walk.
Well, Asa isn't very smart when it comes to horses, I'm afraid.
No, sir, he ain't. And I purely hate to see him lose good money on a horse like that. Why, he paid $19 for that horse.
Oh? Well, he'll make out if the stud can get him some colts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, I guess. That is, if he's got a mare.
Yes, Chester, if he's got a mare.
And if he don't, well, sir, I just don't know. My.
Chester, this evening I'm going to have supper with Kitty over at Dodge House. Will you stay here? There's no work to do, but you could keep an eye on things, huh?
Well, I'd be proud, Mr. Dillon.
More coffee, Kitty?
No, thanks, Matt.
Yeah. Mind if I smoke?
Oh. Those are the longest cigars I ever saw.
Well, if it bothers
Matt,
you,
Matt, 6 nights a week at the Texas Trail, and you think I'd mind one cigar? Go ahead.
Okay.
Matt.
What?
There's something been troubling me.
Oh? What's that?
Well, I wanted to have supper here so we could talk.
Well, what is it, Kitty?
Almost 4 months ago, you and Chester brought a little girl back into town. Daddy was dead, out in the plains. You brought her back because she couldn't stay out there alone.
Well, go on.
She was real sweet. Young, I guess maybe 17.
You're talking about Tara Hantry.
Yeah, Matt.
I saw her over at the general store this morning. What about her?
Well, she's hanging around the Texas Trail, Matt. I see her there all the time. Afternoons, evenings.
Oh? Well, why are you telling me this, Kitty?
Well, it's no place for a girl. Not a young girl, not a girl like Tara.
I don't have any say about how Kate runs the Texas Trail. If they don't want Tara in the place, Kate should keep her out.
Well, Kate won't keep her out. Why should she? Tara's attractive. She's good for business.
Kitty, when I brought Tara back to Dodge, Lawrence Kells and his wife took her in. They've been treating her like her own daughter. Now, it's not my place to interfere.
Well, maybe they don't know, Matt.
They're church-going people, Kitty, Kells and his wife. They try to do what's right for Tara. I'm sure they do.
Matt, people like the Kells don't know the Texas Trail. They don't know the saddle bums, the spoilers, the wild ones that hang out there. Even if they did, they wouldn't see too much wrong with the man Tara's taken up with.
Well, who is it?
Jack Grace.
Jack Grace?
Yeah.
Tara's keeping company with him?
She has been since he came to town a few weeks back.
Well, that little fool.
Well, don't blame her too much, Matt. He cuts quite a figure. Long hair, buckskin shirt, Texas spurs. She's young, and his stories make for good listening.
Yeah.
Matt, I've talked with Grace, and there's something wrong with him. He's too cold, like he's dead inside. He can charm you with a smile, and he talks just fine, almost like a gentleman. But there's nothing inside him, Matt. He's empty, like a shell.
All right. What do you want me to do, Kitty?
Thank you, Matt. Talk to the Kells.
All right. Tomorrow morning. I promise.
Good morning, Marshal Dillon.
Good morning, Tara.
We are having some lemonade. Won't you join us?
I came looking for Mr. Kells.
They're both down at church, getting ready for the social tomorrow night. Marshal Dillon, have you met Mr. Grace?
Mr. Grace?
I know of you, Marshal Dillon. Down around Waco, several of the boys speak of you.
No?
What did you want to see the Kells about, Marshal Dillon? Maybe I could help you.
I think I should talk to them, Tara. It's a matter of business.
About Mr. Kells' business? The buffalo hide?
No. It's another sort of thing. I better come back, Tara. They'll be home later.
Well, you know how these church socials take planning. It may be late.
Yeah, well, I'll come back then.
Sorry you won't join us, Marshal.
Thank you anyway, Mr. Grace.
I'll walk you to the gate, Marshal.
Oh, fine.
I'll be seeing you again, Marshal Dillon.
Maybe, Mr. Grace.
I know why you came here today, Marshal. I know why you wanted to see the Kells.
You do, Tara?
It's about me and Jack Grace, isn't it?
This isn't the time to talk about it, Tara.
It's a fine time to talk about it.
Now, look,
the
Tara.
The busybodies in this town sent you over here. They don't like my keeping company with Jack. Isn't that right?
They're not busybodies, Tara. They're people who are fond of you. Older than you and know more about Jack Grace than you do.
Blue-nosed old gossip.
Now, Tara, listen to
me. No, you listen to me. For as long back as I can remember, Pa and me worked that dried-up old homestead. Alone after Ma died. To kill Pa. came near to killing me.
Look, when I brought you into Dodge, the Kells took you in. They treated you like their own daughter. Mr. Kells is a wealthy man. He's given you everything he can.
And I'm grateful to him. He's tried hard to do all the things Pa would have done if the planes hadn't killed him. But he still can't give me the love and excitement and fun Jack Grace can.
Oh, Tara, so help me. If you were 2 years younger, I'd put you across my knee and slap some sense into you. Now, if you hurt the Kells because of Jack Grace, or if you get yourself in trouble, I'm going to forget about this.
I didn't know better. I'd say it was a lover's spat.
I'll be back later, Tara.
There isn't much point in that, Marshal Dillon, from what I could hear on the porch. Miss Tara seems to have said what she thinks real plain.
I'll be back later, Tara. Will you tell him?
I don't know why you bother, Marshal. If the Kells are ones to worry about loose reputations, they might not pay too much attention to you.
What are you getting at?
A U.S. Marshal who sniffs around one of the girls at the Texas Trail isn't in the best of company, and after all, everyone knows a kid is...
Now get up. And if I ever hear you've mentioned Kitty again, I'll come after you.
Why don't you do that?
I will.
Good day, Tara.
Oh, Jack,
I'll call back for you later this afternoon.
I'm sorry, Tara. I didn't mean for this to happen.
You're just a big, blundering, stupid bully.
Tara, please.
And if you mess up the one thing that means happiness for me, I'll help him kill you.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, mystery-minded? Then mind you don't miss CBS Radio's Mr. Chameleon on the first of his new Friday night broadcasts tonight on most of these same CBS radio stations. Now, the second act of Gunsmoke.
Told me you wanted to see me, Mr. Dillon.
Yes, Mr. Kells. Won't you sit down, please?
Yeah, sure. Hope it won't take too long. Gretchen and I are in charge of the box store tonight, you know. Wouldn't want to be too late.
Well, it may take a few minutes, Mr. Kells. It's important.
Oh?
It's about Tara.
And Jack Grace.
You know about it, then?
I've known about it ever since she came to town 3 weeks ago. They met, heaven knows where or how, and she's been seeing him most every day since.
You know where she spends her time?
At the Texas Trail. Yes, I know. Gretchen and I have tried every way we know, Marshal Dillon. We both talked with Tara, but she's young and headstrong. I don't know what to do. I think she'd run away with him if we interfered again.
Mr. Kells is Marshal. This is no affair of mine, but as someone who's fond of Tara and... Well, I wish you'd try talking with her again.
Well, we'll do everything we can, I promise you that. Perhaps you... Perhaps Grace will get tired of her and leave Dodge.
Perhaps.
Well, anyhow, you know I'll sure try.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming over here, Mr. Kell.
Sure, Marshal. You're going to be at the social tonight, aren't you?
Oh, sure. Chester and I'll be there. Chester'd be real upset to miss it.
Good. We'll see you there.
Okay, fine.
Ah, Mr. Dillon, this is Miss Honeycutt.
How do you?
I'm proud to know you, ma'am.
I bought her supper box. Did you bid on any supper boxes, Mr. Dillon?
No, Chester, I was late getting here.
Oh,
so.
That's a pity. Now, what do you do for supper?
Oh, I'll make out all right.
Well, there's really enough for the three of us, Marshal, if you'd care to join us.
Well, thank you, Miss Honeycutt, but I'm looking for Mr. and Ms. Kells.
Oh, they're not here yet. The parson was asking for them a few minutes ago. Mr. Kells was to have auctioned off the suppers, but they didn't come, so we went ahead without them.
Oh?
You sure you won't join us, Marshal?
No, thank you, ma'am. I'll just wait for the Kells. Perhaps I'll walk back toward their place and meet them on the way.
Well, all right, Mr. Dillon. Miss Honeycutt and I'll be right over there if you need me.
I don't think I will, Chester. You just go ahead and enjoy yourself.
Real pleased to meet you.
Nice to have met you.
Yes, mind that bench, Miss Honeycutt.
Yes, thank you.
What? Oh, hello, Kitty.
You leaving the party before I get there?
No. I was just walking back toward the Kells' place. They're not at the social yet, and this might be a good chance to talk to them.
Oh, all right, if I come with you?
Well, sure. I had a talk with Mr. Kells this afternoon.
Yeah?
Yeah. He knows all about Tara and Grace. Has known for a long time.
Well, what's he going to do about it, man?
He doesn't know what to do. Neither do I, Kitty. Look, Kitty, you're a woman. You know about these things. You don't tell a woman she shouldn't love some man, do you?
No, you don't.
Kells has tried hard. He's done everything he can.
Well, he's a wealthy man. He could send her east for a few months on a visit. St. Louis, maybe.
To forget Grace?
Yeah.
Would it do any good?
No.
Oh, there's the house.
It's dark. Maybe we passed him.
No, I don't think so. Here.
Thanks.
Kitty?
Yeah?
Maybe you better wait here, huh?
Matt, what is it?
The house shouldn't be dark. We didn't pass him.
What are you going to do?
I'm going inside.
I'll come with you.
All right, come on.
The door's open.
Oh, Matt. Matt, look.
Stay here, Kitty. Shot, both of them.
Oh.
No wonder they were late for the auction. Kitty, go back to the church social. Find Chester. Have him meet me at the jail. Tell Doc to come over here.
What are you going to do, Matt?
I don't know. Look around, maybe.
Why this? What for?
Who knows why people kill, Kitty? Money, maybe. I don't know.
But who'd do it, Matt? Who'd kill the Kells?
Someone who hated him enough or thought they had something he wanted. Bad. Real bad.
Grace.
Will you please get Chester and Doc?
Yeah.
Tara, are you all right? It's Matt Dillon, Tara. Are you hurt bad? Who did it, Tara? Do you know?
Yes, I know.
Well, who was it? Was it Grace?
Oh, Matt.
What happened, Tara? Tara.
Mr. Kells was waiting for him when Jack came for me. Mr. Kells wanted to talk with Jack, he said, and
well, go on.
I don't know.
I can't help if you don't tell me what happened.
But when Jack came, there was an argument. Mr. Kells told Jack to go away, leave me alone. Told him not to come back. Jack laughed. Called Mr. Kells a name, and Miss Kells slapped him. And Jack hit her. Mr. Kells tried to get his rifle in the corner. And Jack
Jack.
Yeah?
He shot him. He shot both of them. Then he turned. He said it wouldn't have worked out for us. He was leaving. Just like that. He was leaving. You see, you'd be nothing but trouble, he said. I'm leaving, he said. Then he hit me. And...
Doc will be here in a few minutes, Tara. He'll take care of you.
You want me to go with you, Mr. Dillon?
No, you stay here. Get me that Winchester, will you?
Yes, sir. Here you are.
Thank you.
How do you figure to trail him at night, Mr. Dillon?
I don't. I'm taking a guess, that's all.
You know where he's going?
Like I say, it's a guess. I won't be back to Texas. He's wanted there. Might be Abilene. Ben Thompson would cover for him there.
You'll have an hour or more start on him, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I know, but I figure to take the backcountry and ride hard. Maybe I'll cut his sign by morning.
You'll be riding 3 miles to his one?
I'll check the buckskin. He can last.
Yes, sir. Don't you want me to follow you?
I should be back by tomorrow night. You stay here and help Kitty and Doc with everything. And take good care of the girl. She needs help.
Yes, sir. Good luck, Mr. Dillon.
Grace, you can't see me. Don't bother to try. Just drop your gun belt. Easy. And your rifle. Throw it down. Now keep your hands high, just like they are.
You travel fast, Dillon. I didn't waste time getting to here.
I know this country better than you, Grace. Roads aren't always straight.
Even so, that buckskin of yours must be quite a piece of horse.
He is. We'll be starting back right quick, but meanwhile, you just sit tall right where you are.
Arms will get tired. Taking me back to jail and Dodge.
Well, what do you expect? You murdered 2 people just last night, tried a third.
I just hit Tara down. I don't know as I tried to kill her.
You must have known I'd come after you.
I figured maybe you'd start tracking me toward Texas. I didn't give you credit to think of my head in Abilene. I guess the joke's on me.
Yeah, I guess it is. You know, I don't understand what goes on inside you, Grace.
There's no point in my getting riled. You got me cold, Deck.
Someone told me earlier you were just a shell, that you were empty inside. By heaven, you are. You're crazy, Grace. Just mean, pure crazy.
It's you doing that talking, Marshal. Please yourself. In a way, it's all Tara's fault, I suppose. Well, it wouldn't have worked out anyway, like I told her.
All right if I light up? Marshal?
All right. But watch your moves.
My makings are in my...
Don't, Greg!
I didn't know Kansas marshals were so fast.
A derringer up the sleeve's an old story, Grace.
Yeah, but they sure are. Guess I won't go to trial after all.
No, maybe not. But you're going back to Dodge.
Like they say on the posters. Dead or...
Yeah. Dead or alive.
Marshal Dillon, I want to thank you and Miss Kitty for everything you've done for me since...
Sure.
You got everything in the stage, Tara? Yes, Miss Kitty.
It's a long trip, Tara. You sure you won't change your mind?
I think I'll like it back east, and St. Louis won't be as big as all this.
Marshal Dillon will be late into Hayes City if I don't get away now.
Okay, driver. Well, goodbye, Tara. Good luck.
Goodbye. Well, Matt, she's gone.
Yeah. I don't blame her for wanting to leave, Kitty. The West took nearly everything she loved. Her Ma and Pa, and the Kells.
And her true love?
Jack Grace?
Jack Grace is no good, but Tara gave him a heart. And she never got it all back.
Perhaps you're right, Kitty, but Tara's young. She'll mend.
Will she, Matt?
I hope so, Kitty. I truly do.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Special music for tonight's story was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Sammy Hill as Tara and John Daner as Jack Grace, with Ralph Moody, Joe Duvall, and Vivi Janis. Harley Bear as Chester and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Novelist C.S. Forrester saw in the turbulent Napoleonic Wars an ideal historical background for the exploits of a seagoing hero of his own creation, Horatio Hornblower. And now every Friday night on most of these same CBS radio stations, Michael Redgrave stars as Horatio Hornblower. Clancy Cassell speaking. And remember, Tarzan brings you his adventures Saturday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
that's it for the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Find more from Gunsmoke Theater Royal, past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and anything else that might be happening with Relic Radio at the website, relicradio.com. You can also donate through the website if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. It's how this is all made possible. Thank you very much to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.